You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, it is just an honor and a privilege to serve alongside these men and women on our team, and just for the way that God has put us together for such a time as this, we're just grateful. So if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Mark chapter 2. Mark is the second book of the New Testament, right after Matthew. So we pick up the story here, and just to kind of catch us up as you find your way there, Jesus has begun his ministry. He's been baptized. He's begun to perform miracles. He cast out demons. He has healed some sick. And the last thing that we see that happened right before this story is that he healed a man with leprosy. That was unheard of. You don't heal leprosy. But here Jesus has healed a man with leprosy. And he told the man, hey, don't tell anybody, just go to the priest. But that didn't work. And he went and told everybody. And so we find that Jesus is no longer free to move about because the word has spread of what he can do. And this is unlike anything they'd ever seen before. So curiosity has risen about who Jesus is, and the crowds are coming. So if you have your Bible in Mark chapter 2, we're just going to walk through this. So we see that Jesus has again come to Capernaum. So last time he was in Capernaum, he cast out demons and healed the sick. It's kind of a big deal. And we see that because he's come back and the word has spread, that the crowd is large in the place. And not just large, but we see that is overflowing outside the door. Now, pre-outpouring, I would read this story and think I had the context of what crowded and overflowing look like. Post-outpouring, I actually know what that means. To be in this room where the curiosity about who Jesus is has risen, where people are crowded in this room, you can barely move, and it quite literally is going out the back door and down the steps, and then thousands of our friends came. I can't read this story without thinking of those moments, because I get it. People want to be where Jesus is. People are curious about what has he done and what is he doing. And so we see the crowd is overflowing, and then we're introduced to some men. And it said that these men have come and they're carrying a paralyzed man. And they're carrying the paralyzed man, and they come up and they see there's four of them, nameless, faceless people carrying their friend to Jesus. So they come to the crowd and they realize, oh no, what do we do now? I love it because they had a couple options here in this moment, and I would love to know their thinking of how they got to the solution that they did. But we see that they come to this crowd, and they could have just said, sorry, man, we tried. But they didn't. They could have just kind of fought their way through the crowd, knowing that probably wasn't going to happen, but they didn't. They could have just said, wait your turn, maybe we'll get there. But they didn't. But I have seen what I imagined the look on their faces. I saw that same desperation during the outpouring. Parents who would bring their sick children saying, I just need to get in the room. I just need to be where Jesus is. People bringing their friends and family members with cancer and desperately hoping that Jesus could do for them what they heard he'd done in the past. Desperation makes you do crazy things. I don't know how they determine, let's go to the roof. I don't know, that probably would have never crossed my mind. But back in those days, it wasn't uncommon to have stairs that led to the roof. So they took their friend up to the roof, and then they said, let's destroy this thing. And they began digging a hole in the roof. Now just think about that for the moment. Like if we were sitting here, and all of a sudden someone from the skylight started rappelling down, it would be a little bit disruptive, right? You'd have our attention. So they began to dig through the hole in the roof and began to lower their friend down. And as they lowered their friend down, it says Jesus looked up and he saw their faith. And he said to the man on the mat, son, your sins are forgiven. Did you catch that? Jesus saw the faith of the friends and said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Don't tell me it doesn't matter who your friends are. Don't tell me it doesn't matter who your friends are. Jesus sees the faith of the friends and says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." That makes no sense. And it definitely didn't make sense to the teachers of the law who were there listening, and they began to think in their hearts. They did not even say it out loud. They just began to think in their hearts, "Who is this man? Why is he saying that? He's blaspheming. That means he's going against what they know of God. Only God can forgive sins." That might be the point. And Jesus, knowing what they were thinking, so if you've ever thought something and said, "Well, I can't say that out loud," Jesus already knows, so might as well say it out loud. He knew what they were thinking and began to say, "Which is easier? To say, 'Son, your sins are forgiven,' or 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth. So I say to you, get up and walk." Jesus is saying, "I'm God. I can forgive sins and get up and walk." And everyone was like, "We've never seen this before." Because the man got up and walked in full view of everyone. I like it. I like that. Full view. Like, hello, I'm walking. Did you see that? Did you catch that? I'm healed from the inside out. Sins forgiven, walking in healing. There's so many different directions to go with this sermon, but I want to focus on one. I want to focus on the friends, the mat carriers, if you will, and their faith that brought this man to receive forgiveness and healing. Their faith. And Asbury, might I suggest to you that this place, in case you didn't know it, Asbury, is infiltrated with mat carriers. Infiltrated. They're everywhere. You can't get away from them. Trust me, I've tried. This place is full of people who say, "I'm not going to try to fix you. I can't save you, but I know someone who can. Let me get you to him. Let me bring you to the feet of Jesus." It's people who say, "I believe that God can do for you what he's done for other people. Let's go." It's people who say, "Borrow my faith." Mat carriers, they're everywhere. When I came to Asbury as a freshman, I wasn't quite the typical student, even though I might have looked like it. I grew up in a Christian home. I'm so grateful for that. Christian parents who prayed for me, loved me, cared for me, took me to church. But over the course of time in my high school years, I began not to walk with Jesus. My heart was hard. I didn't really like him. I was angry at him for things that had happened in my life. But you wouldn't have known that. Because I knew all the right answers, I could say all the Christian things, I could perform Christianity when I wanted to or needed to, but I did not like Jesus, and I didn't really want anything to do with him. I didn't come to Asbury because I wanted to, I came because I had to. Some of you are just like me. You're here because someone said, "I'll pay for it." You're here because your mom said you had to go. Our family rule, like literally since I was a kid, I knew that we had to go our first year to Asbury and then we could go wherever else we wanted. I was excited about that rule until I started not liking Jesus, and then that sounded terrible. So I came to Asbury, not because I wanted to, but because I had to. I wanted to be a farmer. I'm not kidding, that's really what I wanted to do. So I showed up kicking and screaming because I'm like, this sounds terrible. To be surrounded by Christians all the time. Because all I knew were fake Christians, minus my family. Like high school, everyone was like, "Yeah, we're Christians," and we did everything else. And they treated people terribly. Experienced some church hurt. I'm like, I don't want that. Neither do you. So I came here my first day, and I met Ellen. She's my first mat carrier. She was my RA. I told her, "Hey, you don't need to get to know me. I'm not going to be here very long." I thought that would just kind of deter her, and she's like, "Yeah, great, I won't get to know you." Wrong. Turns out she wanted to get to know me, not because she wanted to fix me or make me know Jesus, but because she loved me. Back then, freshmen couldn't have cars. And everywhere she went, she's like, hey, you want to go? I'm like, yes, get me out of this place. And she just started showing up in my life over and over and over again. Invited me to be with her friends, invited me to go to church. I was like, this is weird, but whatever. I want to get out of here. Let's go. But over time, I began to look at her and her friends. I'm like, there's something different. They're Christian, but they don't act like my Christian friends back home. And my heart began to soften. My SLA that year was Joanna Crabtree right here in the front row. She's another Matt Currie in my life. Back then, we had what we called, was Gather Now, but it was Koinonia back then because we like to make short things longer. I don't know. Nobody knew what it meant. Like, just Koinonia. Great. So we had Koinonia at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. Terrible time. But I'm like, this is great. I don't have to go. College kids sleep at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. Perfect. Wrong. Because at 9:59, Joanna was in my room. Let's go. Koinonia. Gosh. Are you kidding me? And I put my pillow over my head. Knock, knock, knock. Koinonia, let's go. And if I forgot to lock my door, she'd come in my door and say, let's go, come on. I'm not kidding, that really happened. Multiple times, but I learned to lock my door. And I show up to Gather just like this. Did not want to be there. It's 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. Like, I don't think Jesus wanted to be there, but he was. And I begin to hear stories and testimonies of people just like me who'd experienced hurt and pain and suffering. But they talked about a God who met them in the middle of that. They talked about a God who walked them out of that. They talked about a God who brought peace. And I'm like, I don't know that God. And as much as I didn't want to be there, I was intrigued. Because I only knew that kind of God in my parents and grandparents, not in people my own age. And my heart began to soften. Freshman year, chapel. Up there, balcony C, I don't know, somewhere where you can't really see the stage. I was like, this is perfect. They don't even want me to see because I can't see the stage, so I don't have to pay attention. And I sat there just like this. I didn't open my Bible. I didn't sing any of the songs because I didn't believe them. But I sat there. I'm like, all you got to do is just sit in this chair for 15 minutes and you pass. How hard can that be? But our campus pastor, his name was Stu Smith. I call him Papa Stu now because he's still one of the Matt Currie's in my life. And every time we'd have chapel, he'd start talking, and I didn't know half the things that he was saying. But his life and his talk, it's like, that man talks and walks like he's friends with Jesus. Like he's his friend. I'm like, I don't know that Jesus. And I sat there just like this all first semester. And my heart began to soften. My first class at Asbury was New Testament. Let's go. My first class at 8 a.m., Monday, Wednesday, Friday, was also Kevin Anderson's first class at Asbury. We came in at the same time. Bless Dr. Anderson's heart. He had me. And I sat there just like this when I showed up. 8 a.m. is terrible. I don't remember anything he said. Sorry. But I remember two classes. There are two classes where he began to talk about the love and grace of Jesus. When he began to talk about being Jesus giving up his life and crucified for our sins. And he got choked up. And tears began to fill his eyes. And I'm like, get a grip, sir. But secretly, I was like, I don't know that kind of love. I don't know the kind of love that would bring someone to tears. I don't know that Jesus. And I was intrigued because I'd never seen a grown man cry about the love of someone else. And my heart began to soften. I play tennis here at Asbury. It's like, finally, somewhere we don't have to talk about Jesus. Wrong. Turns out, everywhere you go at this place, people actually believe that Jesus is a part of it. It's like, I'm just here to play tennis, guys. Finally, somewhere we don't have to do all this Jesus stuff. But my coach was Tom Harper. He cared deeply that we played, that we were great athletes. He cared deeply that we won. But more importantly, he wanted us to know Jesus. And we'd have prayer. I'm like, we're just playing tennis. We don't have to pray. We'd have Bible studies. He'd invite us to his house around the table, have dinners. He'd been through some stuff in his life. And yet he talked about how he just walked with God. Now God had met him. I'm like, it's just tennis. But it wasn't just tennis to him. He said it was a way to glorify God. And my heart began to soften. I made it through first semester. My grades weren't great. You can look at them. They're pretty terrible. I got to Christmas break, and I'm like, oh, I don't really want to go back, but I can't leave. Because curiosity about who Jesus was beginning to rise. Because I was looking at my RA, my SLA, our campus pastor, our faculty, our coach, and I'm like, they know something I don't. They know someone that I don't know. I came back. I don't know if you've ever felt this way, but you're like, I'm running, but I want to stay. And I was sitting in chapel, and I'm like, I don't know what they're saying, but would you stop reading my mail? Why are you preaching just to me? And my heart began to soften. And you kind of get to this place in your life where you're like, I'm done. Like, I've made a mess of my life. Pretty ridiculous, all the things that I'm doing right now to try to sustain my life, make me feel better. Nothing's working. I'm running out of options. And it came to my February, my freshman year, in a study room in Kresge Second East. It wasn't here in Hughes at the altar. It wasn't during the right chorus of the song. It was by myself in a study room in Second East Kresge. It was that moment for me where all the Matt Carriers in my life, people here, my parents, my grandparents, it was that moment where all of their faith had brought me to the feet of Jesus. And in that study room in Kresge, it was like they had done the work of digging through the barriers of my heart so that I could see Jesus. And I hit my knees in Kresge Second East, and I just said, God, if you want this life, it's yours. That's it. It was the most honest prayer I'd ever prayed. Because I didn't know if he wanted it. Turns out he did. God, if you want this life, it's yours. And in that moment, it's like God looking up at the faith of all of my friends and saying, daughter, your sins are forgiven. Daughter, your sins are forgiven. And then I had to get up and walk out of the room, and I'm like, what do I do now? Crazy thing is, you never outgrow the mat. It just looks different. Because I did. I walked out of that moment, and I knew Jesus had met me, but it wasn't an emotional moment, but I wasn't sure what to do then. How do I walk this faith out? How does it impact my everyday life like all these other people? And they're like, no worries, we got you, let's go. And they continually took me back to the feet of Jesus time and time again. They still do. Because we were never meant to do this life on our own. We can't actually do it on our own. I've tried. It doesn't work very well. Just save you the trouble. It doesn't end well. Things like gather, small group, alpha, playing a sport here. All of those are places where people are saying, you don't have to have it figured out. I don't have it figured out, but let's go to Jesus together. So Asbury, welcome to the community of the needy, desperate, and broken. People who are in need of saying, I need some people in my life to carry me to the feet of Jesus. But Asbury, welcome to the community of a people that say, borrow our faith. Borrow our faith. And if you notice, it wasn't just all the professional Christians that were my mat carriers, it was you. RAs, SLA, teammates, friends. I don't have a different Holy Spirit than you do. If you're in Christ, we all have the fullness of God alive in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's why we come in here 3 times a week, so that we can borrow one another's faith. There's so many times when I come in here, I'm like, God, I don't feel these songs today. And then you sing over me, and I begin to believe it again. There's so many times when I'm like crying up here, and you pray prayers for me. Over the last couple years, you all have prayed some bold prayers for my life, prayers I will never forget, things that you had faith for that I didn't in the moment. You're mat carriers. Be deployed as mat carriers. You're like, I don't have it figured out. I don't either. But I've learned how to get to the feet of Jesus more quickly. Asbury, what would this community look like if we actually believe that this is a place where you can both carry someone's mat and be on a mat at the same time? There are so many times when I'm like, I have so much faith for what God can do in your life. Borrow my faith. Let's go. And at the same time, in other places in my life, I'm like, I need help. And my friends are like, we got you. You're like, I got you. That's the body of Christ. That's who we are. A body that says, I'm in need, and borrow my faith. And in the Bible, all it says is you have to have a mustard seed of faith. Someone in this room has a mustard seed of faith. So when it's not you, someone has it. And it's not always just us people up here on stage, it's you. So Asbury, let's go. What do we have to lose? Nothing. But we have everything to gain. As we say, help me get to the feet of Jesus and say, I got you. Borrow my faith. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Asbury, I'm so expectant for what God has for us. I have no idea where we're going, but I know we're going to go to his feet. And together, through the power of the Holy Spirit alive inside of us, we can do it. So Asbury, let's go.